Good morning, and welcome to the When I Ready to Water Guns. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. We've been looking at the subject of the Sabbath that we read about in the Scriptures, and we began to look at some of the arguments that those who believe that the Sabbath is still yet binding upon Christians to observe today make use in their arguments to prove that position. So we'd like to pick up with where we left off and continue to look at some of those arguments that they made. One of those is that they say God referred to the Sabbath as my holy day. Well, the fact that God refers to the Sabbath as my holy day, and that's found in Isaiah 58 and verse 13, is under the Old Covenant for the Israelites. And friends, that does not prove that the Sabbath is God's holy day under the New Covenant for Christians. It's also a fact that under the Old Covenant that God referred to my holy things in the most holy place, in Ezekiel 44 and verse 13. But that doesn't prove that those things that were God's holy things under the first covenant are God's holy things under the new covenant, and that Christians ought to recognize them as being God's holy things now and use them as such. Things that were considered holy and things that were considered most holy under the Old Covenant should not be so recognized nor used today unless Christ authorized such in the New Testament. So we should speak and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. James chapter 2 and verse 12. Another argument that we hear is that the Sabbath was to be observed throughout the generations. And yes, that's true. The Sabbath was to be observed, but again, throughout the generations, according to such passages like Exodus 31, verses 13 through 16. But again, please note that the antecedent of the is the children of Israel. Notice that in verse 16. So, in view of this fact, we can clearly see that the children of Israel were to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation. You know, Aaron was to make an atonement with animal blood for a sin offering once a year throughout their generations. That we find in Exodus 30 and verse 10. Again, does this fact prove that Christians today should be making an atonement with an animal blood for a sin offering once a year? Well, certainly it doesn't. Then also consider, too, that incense was to be burned before the Lord throughout the generations. Exodus 30, verses 7 and 8. Question: does this prove that Christians should be burning incense before the Lord continually, just like the Israelites did? Well, of course not. So, if the Sabbath is binding on us because of the expression throughout the generation, then why not burn an incense? Why not make an atonement once a year with an animal sacrifice? Another thing, too. The children of Israel were told to make fringes on the borders of their garments throughout the generation. Numbers 15, verse 38. Well, does this prove that Christians should make fringes on the borders of their garments today? Of course not. You see, every honest person should easily see the fact that the Israelites were to keep the Sabbath holy throughout their generations, and that does not prove that the Sabbath law is binding on Christians today. So the expression throughout the generation, as used there, does not include the gospel age, the New Testament period that you and I live under today. But another argument that is sometimes heard is that the Sabbath law was a perpetual covenant. And yes, according to Exodus 31, verse 16, the children of Israel were to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. However, this doesn't prove that the Sabbath is to be observed by Christians for a perpetual covenant. You know, we also read about the priest's office would be Aaron's and his sons for a perpetual statute. We read that in Exodus 29 and verse 9. But this was not intended to show that Aaron and his sons would be holding the office of priest in this day and time that we live under the gospel, under the law of Christ in the New Testament. It's in Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 14 that we read of a meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance unto the Lord. But then, this is no evidence or proof that Christians today should be offering a meat offering continually today. Let's consider that the fact that the Levites, they were told that the field of the suburbs of their city may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. Leviticus 25, verse 34. Well, that has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not Christians today have a right to sell their possessions. And I believe that we can see that clearly, can't we? Another argument that is often made to try to teach and believe, cause people to believe that the Sabbath is binding upon Christians today is they say that the Sabbath was to be a sign forever. Well, again, that's true. Exodus 13, verse 17, there it is so stated. However, that passage says a sign between the children of Israel and God. See, it's not a sign between Christians and God. And the word forever, as used here, means age lasting. Another argument that we hear. The Israelites were keeping the Sabbath in Egypt because Exodus 5 and verse 5 says, and this was Pharaoh speaking, you make them rest from their burdens. Well, the word from which rest comes, it simply means to cause to cease, to hinder, or to forbid, according to the Hebrew and English lexicon by Genesis. It does not mean that they were observing the Sabbath. They had simply quit their work or they had ceased from their burdens. So the context clearly indicates this. Read it carefully. You know, we should never assume that every time that the word rest is used, that it means the Sabbath. In fact, if we do a close reading of Ezekiel 20, verses 10 through 12, that shows that God did not give the Israelites his Sabbath until after they were brought out of Egypt. And when you do a study of Nehemiah 9, verses 13 and 14, and the 16th chapter through the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, all of that helps to show further that they were not keeping the Sabbath while they were in bondage in Egypt. But you know, even again, if the Israelites did keep the Sabbath in Egypt, that doesn't prove that the Sabbath day is binding on Christians. Another argument that's sometimes made to prove that Christians ought to observe the Sabbath today is God's people of all nationalities, whether Jew or Gentile, were duty bound to observe the Sabbath because Isaiah 56 and verse 6 says, also the sons of the stranger, that would be Gentiles, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord that keepeth the Sabbath. Well, of course, the Gentiles, the strangers, who joined themselves to the Lord, that is, they accepted the Jewish religion, they kept the Sabbath. But again, this fact does not prove that the Sabbath is something that's binding on Christians. You know, we learn from Exodus 12 and verse 48, that the stranger that would sojourn with the Israelites and keep the Passover of the Lord, was told to, and I quote, let all his males be circumcised, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. And also, if we had time, we could read Exodus 20 and verse 10, and also Ezekiel 44 and verse 9. But you see, it's obvious that when Gentiles joined themselves to the Lord, they ceased being Gentiles, and they became proselytes to the Jewish religion. They then would keep the Sabbath, but not then as a Gentile, but as a Jew proselyte. So the strangers within thy gates, not those without the gates, were those who were required to keep the Sabbath. And also note further, the fact that God required the strangers who would sojourn with the Israelites to be circumcised, again, does not prove circumcision is binding on Christians any more than it means that the Sabbath is to be binding upon Christians. You know, I don't know of a single passage that required the Gentiles as Gentiles to keep the Sabbath day holy. Even if we could find such a passage, again, that would not prove that the Sabbath is binding on Christians. Today, you and I live under the New Covenant, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. But then another argument made. They say that in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Yes, Jesus said. But he did not say, therefore the Sabbath law will be binding on Christians. That's what those that believe that the Sabbath is binding on Christians claim after they read this verse. Of course, the Sabbath was made for man. In fact, we learn as we study the scriptures what man it was made for. It was the Israelites. It was made known to the Israelites after he came out of Egypt. Ezekiel 20, verses 10 through 12, Nehemiah 9, verses 13 and 14, and also the 16th and the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. So, keeping things within context here in Mark 2, Jesus was showing that their criticism of his disciples because they plucked the ears of corn and ate, as Matthew 12, verse 1, on the Sabbath, was improper because man was not made for the Sabbath, and that he, Jesus, was Lord even of the Sabbath. And also, keep in mind that Jesus was living under the Old Testament. He lived under the law of Moses. When he made this statement in Mark chapter 2. So there's nothing in his statement that proves that the Sabbath will be binding on Christians under the New Testament dispensation. Friends, we see our time is up. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you tune in again tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.